Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
Making the workday a little more entertaining.
Floppity flop flop flop.
It's Zoe and the Beetle on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
I never want to start a segment when we play this one.
To let it roll.
Yeah. How long? How much more of this do we have?
24 seconds.
Yeah, let's keep it going, baby. What is it?
It's Beastie Boys from Check Your Head.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Go bongo in there.
Okay, now you got to start talking.
I know. It's disappointing. I'm ruining the radio for everyone. Everyone who's listening, they want more of that. They don't want me. Yeah. Well, I mean, you have a choice.
Like that did it.
Beetle or that? Yeah. That. Please. More of that. MLB trade rumors continue, though. The Red Sox are in on an old friend. A man who doesn't like his head to be touched. Adrian Beltre. Mm. Adrian Beltre, according to Nick Cafardo of the Boston Globe, have interest, or seem to have interest, as he wrote, in Rangers third baseman Adrian Beltre. Also in the mix, Phillies, Braves, Indians as potential suitors. He's been kicked around for weeks as a potential trade guy because the Rangers suck. They're like 11 games below 500. What's not even known at this point is if Texas wants to move him. Adrian Beltre, Hall of Famer or no?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
Hall of Famer. He has the credentials, which is wild. You don't think... Here's the thing. You don't think of him as one of the best players of his time. But compare what he's done. I think right now it's hard to figure out who Hall of Famers are. It is.
Why is that?
Like, because over like the last 15 years, I think you've got a handful of guys that you know are locks. And then after that, it gets a little murky since the turn of the century.
Yeah, consistent player, though. For as many years as this guy's been in the league. I mean, goes to show you what they think of Devers, too. Right? That you don't believe he's going to be there in the second half.
How do you know that?
I don't know. He hasn't been able to hit lefties.
How do you know that? I'm going to tell you exactly why he's perfect, even with Devers on your team. Devers has sucked against lefties.
Yeah.
So you play Beltre against lefties. You play Beltre as your DH in other games against righties. Keeps you put Martinez J.D. Martinez in the outfield in those games. And you're getting Jackie Bradley Jr. off the field. The problem in that situation is that Jackie Bradley Jr. is still on the field against lefties. But what you could do is maybe also do that Oakland deal for Mark Canna that we discussed yesterday. And he's hit lefties well this year. Oh, wait. I just gave you a roadmap on how to get rid of Jackie Bradley Jr. Isn't that
funny
how
doing
that happens?
Yeah.
Do you see that?
Yeah.
Oh, wait, so you've got a guy that's going to play against righties and a guy that's going to play against lefties? Oh, wait, where does that leave the at-bats for Jackie Bradley Jr.? Oh, it doesn't. Oh, what do you know? That's how you could do it.
As long as Swihart's still on the roster, they're okay with it.
Well, here's the problem, though. Isn't someone going to want Swihart? Like, Swihart, to me, has been kept here because someone's going to want him. As even if it's a throw-in in a deal.
Why not Swihart for Beltre? I'd do that.
Oh, absolutely. Yep, tomorrow. Today. Yeah. Call him up.
Yeah, because you don't right now know what Swihart's going to do for you. So I mean, you know exactly what Beltre's going to do for
you. He doesn't play.
No, but that's why they're keeping him too, to make one of these type of deals. Do that tomorrow. Jim's right. Do that tomorrow.
I can't believe Beltre played all the way through the steroid era, and he's still playing now.
Yeah.
He started in 98 at 19 years old.
I know. He's been around for a long time. Do you know that it was 2010 that he was here? That's how long ago it's been. He went to Texas. He's been there ever since.
Yeah, the only reason they got rid of or they didn't re-sign him was because they made the trade for Gonzalez, right?
That's right.
Adrian Gonzalez.
That's right.
And they moved Euclid back to third, right?
Mm-hmm. How'd that work out? I mean, he was here on a one-year deal. He was here on a one-year deal. I believe his last year in Seattle was atrocious, and he needed a prove-it deal because he had been coming off a really bad year.
Yeah, well, he hit 321 with 28 homers, 102 RBIs, and hit 49 doubles the 1 year he was here.
He had a fabulous year, but what did he do in Seattle the year before?
That's eight home runs.
Yeah, what was what did he bat?
265,
yeah,
eight
see?
Home runs,
he
44
needed,
ribbies.
He needed a prove-it deal. He needed to come back and prove that he was still the same player, and he most certainly did that. And the Red Sox felt that they had gotten the most out of him late at the later stages of his career, right? He had already been in the league for a dozen years at that point. They were thinking, okay, this guy's going to go out and get a new contract and not be the same player that we just got. And he went to Texas and has been there ever since. He's been good. So this, to me, is something that they should absolutely do. I'm all about this move. I like the player.
Yeah. How could you not?
I have a real positive thought about the player.
He's played here and played well. It's not a guy that's going to come in here and not, you know, respond well. Plus, he's got, what is he, 39? Did you say 39? Jesus.
Nice little veteran. Add the veteran
savvy
angle in there.
Savvy.
Right?
Savvy pickup.
Put him in there. I'm all for this. All about this move. John and Denham, you want Beltre or no?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely do. I mean, you kind of stole my thunder about, you know, getting Jackie Bradley out of there. But, this is the perfect way to do it. You know, you could stick JD back and left. And, I mean, he's statistically he's better out there when he's playing the field. And, I mean, I think it's better to put Benintendi back in center. But the thing is, what do you got to give up, though, to actually get Beltre? Because we don't have much to give.
Yeah, and here's the other question I have. How many other teams truly want him? You know, Nick mentions those other teams, Phillies, Braves, Indians. If you've got competition, you're going to have to find something to give them. And what the hell do the Red Sox have? Blake Swihart.
That's it.
Sell him hard on
That's
Blake
it.
Swihart. And if they want something else. We got to figure out what that's going to be. Yesterday, in terms of trades, though, we talked about, would you trade Drew Pomeranz? Yes or no?
No.
You and Jim, the two of you.
I would not. Something could happen between now and the end of August to September where you might need this guy.
As a starter?
As anything, yeah. Who knows?
Jim Injuries wants to happen. Use him as a reliever in the playoffs.
Like,
wants to
like
use
Price
him as a reliever.
A lefty who can throw in the 90s in the playoffs. Yes, that's what I want.
Would you trade...
You don't have a lefty special.
Would you trade Stephen Wright?
Yes.
Hell yes.
Yes.
Hell yes.
I wouldn't trade him either.
I'd trade either one of them.
That's the guy that can save you in the playoffs. If you get blown up in the first inning and you need a guy to give you five innings, that's the guy that can save your bullpen.
So you want to keep Pomeranz?
I'm keeping Pomeranz for a late inning guy. Pomeranz was good a couple years ago when they used him late innings in the bullpen.
At least
he was throwing like 95. He went from throwing like 90 to 95 when he went to the bullpen.
It's called. Never mind. playoff time. Eat your Wheaties.
It's fine. Do it this year.
Yeah, no, I get what you're saying.
Get some juice.
Freshly squeezed.
Squeeze juice bar.
Yes. But you can't. So wait,
juicer.
You can't make that same case for Stephen Wright, though.
No, I just think he's the one guy on your bullpen that you sit there as the 12th or 13th pitcher that you use him in a situation where if you're up 12-1 in the fifth and you want to save your bullpen, he pitches the final three innings of the game. If you're down 12-1 in the fifth,
you can't find
he pitches
someone
the rest
else
of the
to
game.
Do that. It has to be him.
If it doesn't matter, just anybody can go in there and do
right.
That.
Get another scrub reliever to do the work.
You're two scenarios pitches if you need to out of the bullpen.
Well, you're down 12-1 or you're leading 12-1.
No, that wasn't valuable at all in 2004. No. Having Wakefield wasn't valuable at all.
What did he do in 2004?
He did give up the dinger to Boone.
That game that was 19-8, game three.
Then Wakefield give up the dinger.
He threw a ton of innings in that game and a ton of pitches, and it saved their bullpen for the rest of the series for the comeback.
Okay, my question is, why can't someone else do that? Why does it have to be Stephen Wright?
Tell me who.
Name any one of the scrubs.
You want Hector
on the team.
Velasquez instead?
Sure, why not? What's the problem? You're down 19-8. You've already lost the game. It doesn't matter if you let up 10 more runs. It doesn't matter.
All right, so what do you think you're getting for Stephen Wright?
I think that...
Bag of rocks?
I think you could... Listen, I'm grasping here because they don't have anything. So you've got to start looking at what you have on your major league roster that someone else might have an interest in, and there's always a desire to get someone who can start, and he can start. He's starting pitching help,
believe it or not. Maybe you get a center fielder. It's fast, but can't hit, but he fields well.
You can't trade him to the National League, Stephen Wright, because he can't run the bases.
Right. We're aware. Well, Texas is not the National League.
All right. If you can get Beltre for him, yes, I'll trade him.
Okay, so you will trade him.
For Beltre,
I can't believe you. So you will trade Stephen Wright.
For Beltre, yeah, because you just gave me.
Oh, my God.
We just talked it out, and now Hector Velasquez can throw those innings in the bullpen.
The question was, will he?
If Velasquez gets hurt, he might be screwed.
I don't know, Jim. If you're down 19-8 in a postseason game this year, you're going to be kicking yourself. Don't cave that easily.
Don't let us win the next one.
Okay, what if someone offers you a really good eighth inning guy for Stephen Wright? Or even someone who has the potential to close maybe next year.
Well, yeah, that's stupid not to do that.
Okay,
that's more valuable than that guy.
So then there you go.
That's not going to happen.
I'm saying in a deal.
In a deal where you get something that is a need on your team that really improves your club, you're willing to give up Stephen Wright. You are. You just told me you are.
Yeah, for a starting position player or a late eighth or ninth inning reliever.
Well, why else
are you making trades?
You're making trades to help fill needs.
Well, yesterday we were talking about somebody to platoon in the outfield and
Mark Canha,
you don't want to do it for that. I get that, but I think we all would agree that both Stephen Wright or Drew Pomeranz totally tradable if it's going to fill a need for a starting position player or somebody who can fill that late inning role. Of course,
617.
We agree more than
779-0985. We're finding common ground because you were so against it. And 2 minutes later, you're like, "Oh, for Beltre? Oh, I'll do it." Yeah, I do it for Beltre.
Because I'm just assuming you're getting nothing for Stephen Wright. No. Why would you trade anything for Stephen Wright for any other team?
We're making fun of you because your biggest fear is not having a guy to pitch when you're either up 11 or down 11 in the postseason.
Stephen Wright and Blake Swihart for Beltre today. Do you do the deal?
I try to do it without both of those guys. Yeah.
Again,
those are your two best chips right now. You're talking about those being your two best chips.
If you're in competition,
you're giving them both for Beltre? No.
With three other teams that have legitimate prospects to give up, or have something of value to give up, then yeah, you give them both up. Yep. Then I would do the deal. That's my point. You got to be willing to give something up here. I'd give them both up in that deal. 617-779-0985. Get to more of your calls, thoughts on the Red Sox, and we got to get Zoe's thoughts on a couple of items from over the weekend. One being Hanley Ramirez, two being J.D. Martinez.
Ooh,
we'll do that next.
Zolak and Bertrand.
Do they pose a threat?
98.5, The Sports Hub.
Here on Zolak and Bertrand. A couple of rehashed items from yesterday. Zoe wasn't here, so we're going to get his take on this. Let's start with the big one over the weekend. Yeah. Hanley Ramirez and the
case
of his friend who was pulled over by a Massachusetts State police officer, and the state he ended up FaceTiming with Hanley on the side of the road while his friend claimed that a box in the back of his Jeep was books for Manny, and it turned out it was a box full of fentanyl. It was reported that Hanley was being eyed. That was how Michelle McPhee reported it on Friday, that he was being eyed in relation to the investigation. The Globe reports that he is not being investigated. That doesn't mean he couldn't be eyed, by the way.
Right.
I mean, a lot of people have come out slamming Michelle McPhee. They certainly could have looked into him and probably did look into him once they knew he was tied to a guy with 400 plus grams of fentanyl in his back seat and crack cocaine.
That's normal.
And he's FaceTiming Hanley when he gets pulled over. Yeah, I think due diligence would tell you they eyed or looked into Hanley and maybe they found absolutely nothing. And that's what has happened here. That's what's played out. Your thoughts on all of this?
Okay, so the Red Sox said it's strictly a baseball decision.
Yes, do you believe them?
I do believe them because you know, obviously you want to get rid of the contract, but you're going to eat all that money. You don't want to have his other year kick in, so you don't want to get the plate appearances. So I do believe it from that standpoint. But I don't believe that any rumors or anything that they heard, and I guarantee you they heard it. Because trust me, you got so many authorities and people that work within an organization that hear all these little, you know, leaks and rumors about guys or where you were, whether you got a DUI or not. Stuff gets back to the team always. I told you stories about how they would always find out crap about us. And that was minor stuff. Something like this, I believe that it probably did factor in a decision, but the timing was right that we can make this a baseball decision. I don't think that's why they released him, but I don't tell me that it wasn't on their mind. What was the tweet you retweeted? What was the date on that? Well, the guy that had, I have sources, but I'm just telling you, maybe check into Hanley's car.
Yeah. Yeah, I can tell you. You want me to read it to you?
We've been hearing about this for weeks, as a lot of people have. But you just can't go on air and talk about this without knowing details.
I'll tell you what that is, but let's assume in the meantime, they know, right? They knew.
I would say they knew.
Let's assume they knew. I think they knew. You think they knew.
I think it helped make their baseball decision that much easier.
So what's wrong with that?
Nothing.
Yeah, that's what I say. Good.
Smart.
And you know what? It feels
Wouldn't
to be...
Wouldn't it be great if the Patriots knew this stuff about Aaron Hernandez back in the day and you released him prior to all this stuff happening?
It feels like they're really going out of their way to stick to the baseball decision thing, and I think that's probably smart. And I don't know all the legalities surrounding it or rules or what they could have done had they found out and wanted to... suspend. I don't know. I don't
care.
You
could say you hear stuff all the time about a lot of people.
They didn't
want to
pay him next year. He wasn't hitting.
Right.
They wanted to get out of the money, which I totally understand. I don't want them to be paying that money next year. He still had some value to the team, but he hadn't hit in over a year. He had like one decent month between last season and this season. They wanted to move on, and then they found this out, and they said, bye. We're not dealing with this crap. Get the hell out of here.
Yep.
And they have, can you imagine the distraction and circus that would have happened over the last 5 days if he was still on the team?
Oh, this poor manager having to deal with it in his first year?
No. I give him credit.
Yeah.
I give him credit on a lot of levels to say, what? Oh, great. Now the guy's involved. What, his buddy that he still keeps around? And I always say, if he's still his friend and they're still in touch to that degree where they're FaceTiming one another, why has he still got him as a friend?
I FaceTime you guys, right?
Why is he still a friend?
A little test here.
Ask yourself that. Why is he still a friend?
Because it's his friend. Because that's his friend.
Really?
Period.
That's the only reason why?
Well, I think, you know, there's
because he's such
Come
a
on,
good
without
friend.
Saying it.
He's such a good friend that when he got pulled over, he immediately tried to pin it on Hanley. Oh, yeah, great friend you have there. Usually if you got a friend that you're still keeping around, you got a reason to keep him around. That's all I'm going to say. That's one of my thoughts on this. Why is he still your friend?
Yeah.
Well, because you need him for something.
Fall guy. Everybody's got to have a fall guy.
Maybe.
Right?
Yeah. Maybe that's what it is. It's something. But I don't mind it one bit that the Red Sox are in my belief, lying to us right now. That's okay. You guys got to do what you got to do.
Yeah.
I hear you.
It's almost like they're too much pleading the fifth on this word. It's baseball decision. Baseball
decision. Too many people. Even like, Alex Cora. I hope it's not true.
Fudge a little bit. Right. Yeah.
It's my favorite part of the Alex guy. I hope it's not true. Hope
you know. You know.
For his sake, I hope it's not true. You want me to read you that tweet?
Yeah, sure.
It was.
What's the date?
It was someone that tweeted to Carrabas on 5/25 at 7:02 p.m. the day that Hanley was let go by the Red Sox. He said to Jared, "I would investigate the local law enforcement regarding Hanley, his car, and something that shouldn't have been in the car. There's more to this story than what's being reported." So it's not right. It wasn't his car, but it was a car that got pulled over and had something in it that wasn't supposed to be in it.
Right.
And it was tied to Hanley somehow. So, if you know,
it's going down the right path.
And by the way, there's more than one of these types of tweets. There were people that posted, you know, DMs that were sent to them the day it happened. I told you, remember the day I found out about it in here? And I'm like, Zoe, we gotta start asking our people.
I know.
And we asked a number of people. Some had heard the same things. Some were trying to get more info, but.
It just seems everybody.
Those rumors are flying early.
Pretty much the same type of things they were talking about.
It was all about drugs in a car.
Yeah, it wasn't guns. Wasn't this and that?
Nope. Drugs in a car. Drugs in a car.
FaceTime calls.
Everyone knew something about drugs in a car. No one knew exactly whose car it was. What was going on?
Yeah, the weirdest thing for me too is people getting killed for not talking about it, or like you should have talked about this earlier.
No
like,
way.
Oh, really, you people knew? Do you realize the trouble we could have got in? Or anybody could have gotten in for accusations?
It was nothing but a rumor.
Or defaming somebody
at that point.
You know how many things are told to you guys that don't come true?
A million.
If we went on air with everything that you guys were told.
Like, but this is a big one. That's a big one to go on air with. If you think you have it.
Well, if you're going to say that it's, you can't just throw it out.
You can't do that.
You got to know that it's, you got to have someone legit, who has real knowledge of it. Yes. And I still think there are more rumors about this story that I don't know if are true or not and will ever come out or not. I have no idea. Mm. And I'm not about to say what they are.
It's kind of funny. He's with his family, right?
So there's more details that could drop later on?
Could. I don't know if it will, though. I bet it's unlikely. If it's true, I bet it's unlikely. Even if it is real. Yeah. I'm just looking back at a text on my phone from May 29th when we first learned some things about it. And I'll read you this part. The kid who got bagged was trying to pin the drugs on Hanley. Cops didn't buy that part of the story.
There you go.
That matches up. That's from May 29th. Cops didn't buy that
pretty
part.
Pretty verbatim. Yeah.
That it wasn't his drugs. That the kid tried to pin it on Hanley and they weren't Hanley's drugs and they knew it. That's held up. That's been true.
It's scary to think that, okay, these type of people he is hanging out with, though. Or is in connection with, meaning Hanley.
Yeah, why?
I've seen it. I've seen guys that have had posses, you know, playing with some guys that are just bad people. And you can't get rid of people. You can't get rid of
sure
old friends.
Sure you can. You just get rid of them.
You can, just smartly. Or unsmartly.
Hanley's
you...
been a professional baseball player since, what, 16 years old?
Yeah.
When did he sign with the Red Sox? At the age of 16, I believe.
A little skinny-necked.
16. He's been playing baseball. He's been a professional athlete his entire adult life.
In like a decade in Miami.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He signed like 20 years ago. Do you know what I mean? How old?
I'm sure
he
meet a lot of people in Miami that are shady.
18 years ago. Right? I mean, over the course of 18 years.
You think he'll play again?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah.
I think it's over. He claims it's his decision. I don't buy that.
I don't buy that either.
I don't buy it. I don't think anyone wants him.
So as much as the Red Sox say that this was a baseball decision, that they never heard about this stuff, you got to think other teams have heard about this stuff.
Quickly, did you hear J.D. Martinez and all his complaining about baseball and how bad baseball has been to him? How unfair the process is?
It's not that it's been unfair to him. It's just that
why is he so jaded?
It's shameful the way what Major League Baseball has turned into. It's a shame.
It's a shameful sport the way they've handled
it. That free agency.
Is this he and Goldschmidt again?
Free agency.
Still bitching?
Media involvement in free agency and the devaluing players. It's
so
a
crooked.
Shame.
So
what,
crooked.
What it's become.
Yeah. Just keep hitting dingers. He'll get paid.
Well, that's the problem. He would have been paid a lot more, but
he's worth a lot more.
Saw these stories coming out, and it devalues you. It's like, where is this coming from? And is it collusion? Is it who are these guys really working for? These writers? I mean, face it. He's only got a guaranteed $110 million coming his way, and he can only opt out of contract two or three times.
It's funny, because when the Red Sox were
first in on him,
all those baseball writers and the guys that tweeted it with the blue check marks were talking about a $250 million contract, or north of that, for him, with his name attached to it. But now it's shameful.
Well, it is a shame. Sounds like you lost out on $140 million. How did it happen? It's a shame.
I don't blame the reporters.
He said it's the ugly side of the business. That's the ugly side of baseball.
Hard to argue with him. Isn't it hard? I mean, it's been really bad. Here are the headlines with Hardy. The Bruins are getting their meeting with John Tavares today. And I have to say, I am enjoying the reports about Tavares and what he's looking for and the pursuit of Tavares, maybe more so than most of you, but I'm loving this chase. Bruins get their meeting today. We'll get to that next.
Sports Hub headlines.
Now, Beadle just said it. John Tavares is getting his meeting with the Bruins today. 37 goals for the Islanders, part of an 84-point season for him. He's also said to be looking for something maybe higher than $11 million a year. Bruins get their chance to talk to him about being a Bruin today. Red Sox are playing tonight again at Fenway Park. The Angels come to town for the second of the two meetings between the two teams this season. Sox swept the Angels in Anaheim back in April. David Price goes to the mound tonight. He's 8-5 on the year with a 3.81 ERA. He'll oppose John Lamb. It was a 5.40 earned run average. Also, we got World Cup action happening right now. Denmark and France are scoreless in the 75th minute. Peru currently holds a 2-0 lead over Australia. They are now into the 74th minute of that match. And last week, we learned that Gene Steratore would be retiring as an NFL referee. Now we learn that He is going to join CBS as a rules analyst for the 2018 season. He's also going to be a rules analyst for college basketball games because he was a basketball ref too. He's going to do a little.
So he's
duty.
Not doing the basketball thing either anymore.
He
retired from both fronts.
I would expect so.
Does he still have a sanitation business? Analyst. He and his brother are in the business in sanitation.
Sanitation. Not
sanitation.
Sanitarium.
He says sanitation. Headlines are brought to you by AdCare Hospital. If you or a loved one is struggling with alcohol or drug use, help is just around the corner. Call AdCare at 1-800-ALCOHOL. I'm Hardy. I'm Boston's home for sports. 98.5 The Sports Hub. More headlines in 30 minutes.
What's going on?
Zolak and Bertrand continues.
Hey!
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
What's this? Is this what you want the Bruins brass to play when yep. they walk
in
the meeting?
That's what I'd walk in with.
Does this guy like the party?
Boston's heaven. You're the angel. We're missing you.
Must be missing an angel. John Tavares is going through a full vetting of all the teams.
Thank you.
His meeting with the Bruins is scheduled for today at CAA in L.A.
I almost went to see Tavares about 2 years ago. They played Lombardo's in Randolph.
That sounds
that
about
place
right.
Off the street.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, me going there with a three-piece.
I've been there.
Going there with a double-breasted suit on.
My,
right, the pointy shoes.
My junior prom was there. Yep. Big chandelier in there. Hello, take a picture in front of that.
Two old Patriots used to take me in there on Sunday nights to go, because it was a good place to meet ladies, but they were all old. I'm like, what the hell is this?
Yeah, maybe they're into old ladies.
Freak show, man.
It's cougar time.
No.
Who are they? Who are the...
Ilya Jaroushchuk and Richard Tartitz, a French kid. Who used to go swimming with the whales? He used to go on a whale watch cruises.
On the whales?
The wells.
You can't swim in a well.
Yeah.
You get down
he
there
would
and
jump off the freaking boat and swim with
stop.
The whales.
Yeah.
A whale.
Whales.
Gotcha.
Yeah, whales.
All right, whales.
Jeez.
Thank you for the sound. That helped us. Today, Bruins get their meeting with John Tavares in L.A. San Jose gets their meeting today as well.
Yes,
the Lightning and Stars will deliver their presentation on Wednesday. That, excuse me?
He and Jim are having a private conversation.
I just heard a word. I just heard a word that started with a C.
No.
And ended with a scission.
Centurion?
I don't know that's a word.
Centurion?
Excuse me?
Yeah.
Tavares gets his meeting.
I see anything like it.
Excuse me?
It's nothing. I hate you, Jim.
Do you want to join the segment now?
Yeah.
Do you want to do that?
So go ahead, Tavares.
Tavares, unfortunately, wants a subdued... I don't even know what that means. A subdued
it's like
market.
Really quiet market.
Which would mean, again, let me read you this report. Boston isn't as flashy as other cities on his list, but in terms of its hockey culture... Beantown, okay, you know this is not written by somebody from Boston.
Beantown.
Beantown is one of the very best. It's long been rumored that Tavares, a quiet and composed individual, both on and off the ice, has always had eyes for a subdued market. Something the hockey-crazed New England area is not. What the hell does that mean, a subdued market? You want to go where it doesn't matter?
I don't know. It seems he's gluten-free.
I mean, okay, I don't know what that
typical.
Has. I don't know what that has to do with being... In a place where hockey...
Send him some salad.
No, I want to go somewhere that's subdued, where, yeah, it's a good team, but the people don't really care about it.
This is like when guys like Mo Vaughn and him...
that's what you're looking
west.
For?
You want to go play for the
I just want to
well,
make...
no, that's chasing the money.
Yeah.
You want to get paid.
No, I know that, but then you get out there and see that's a subdued market.
I want to make a lot of money, but I want to do it in a place where if we don't win, I'm not going to hear about
Adrian
it.
Gonzalez.
Doesn't
Adrian
Gonzalez.
You want to be Adrian Gonzalez.
If true, again, if this is true, wouldn't that automatically make you think less of him?
Yes.
I want to go somewhere where I get paid. The team has a chance to be good, but if we're not good, there's no pressure. Nobody cares.
I'm at the point, you want to hear, I'm at the point in my career where I want to go to a team that has great history.
Sounds pretty good.
Yeah.
I mean, put yourself in that position. Team?
Except the best athletes don't thrive on that. The best players, the winning championship players, don't want that. They want to win. They want pressure. They want to be in the spotlight. They want it all. Right?
Yeah.
They want to play where it matters. They want to go where it means something, where the sport is as important to the people who file in and sit in the seats every night as it is to the guys who are playing the game. That's what the best guys usually thrive on. Not that. Oh, I want to go somewhere where I can, if I suck, it don't matter. I still get paid. No one's going to care. No one's going to talk about me. Again, I don't know if that's true, though, because he picked the teams that came to meet him. If this were true, why would he even bother with the Bruins? Why would he even take the meeting? Why would he say, come to L.A., let's sit down and talk? I can think of one reason, and that is he just wants to use them to up his offers and get as many good offers as possible. Yeah. But don't forget,
Bergeron,
his team, the Islanders, his team that he's already on, is reportedly going to offer him $8.88. So I don't know that he needs the money. Like, if you're going after this guy, you're paying him. You're paying the guy. You're paying him a lot of money. It doesn't feel to me like this is this search and this sit down and the vetting of all the different teams that want in.
Yeah.
That doesn't feel like a money grab. It feels like he's going to legitimately consider all of his options. But why take the meeting with the Bruins if you're not into the market?
Toronto's one of the teams too, right?
Yes, in Toronto.
That's not subdued at all.
Well, he's from there, though. I mean, he's an Ontario guy.
So maybe that's why Bruins might drive up Toronto's price. Could be doing that, too.
Mm.
Toronto doesn't want the Bruins to get him. They'll just raise their offer,
but
maybe.
But any of these teams that are in on him, aren't they just going
to
pay him like what he asks for?
Yeah,
if he says, hey, Toronto, I'm coming to Toronto as long as you give me the money I want. What are they going to say? No?
Hey, what are you going to tap out, say for?
They're not going to say no. They're going to pay him whatever he wants.
The last thing I want, though, is the Bruins to be is him to say, listen, I don't want to go to a big market, so you're going to have to pay me more, and it'd be like a David Price situation where he only takes the offer because it's more money coming from a bigger market. He doesn't really want to be here, though. That's the last thing you want, right?
I just hope
this fan base, sure.
I don't want this part to be true, that he wants a subdued market. I'm really hoping that that's being overplayed. I really hope that's not true, because if that's
true, wrong terminology.
He's not only not coming here, he wouldn't be a fit here even if he did.
Right. Adrian Gonzalez type player. Wants to make a lot of money but not play in a big market.
Go to Dallas if that's what you want.
Yeah.
Okay?
Go play Sagan.
Go to Florida. Go to Carolina. Go to Arizona.
You could golf. Yeah, you could start golfing early.
Yeah.
Play some golf.
Go someplace where it doesn't matter.
Move to Canada. Move to Finland.
I wasn't saying leave the country. I was just saying go to a place where hockey's not important. That's all. 617-779-0985. Also, will David Krejci be mad even if the Bruins don't land Tavares? Is he going to be upset that they're even in on him and they're going after him? Let's talk about that. Get your calls coming up next.
Just because you're at work doesn't mean you have to miss a story. Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
You know, for a local act like Tavares, we really should play them more, Jim, don't you think?
It's great. It fits the rhythm of our show.
Oh, it sure does.
You okay?
Yeah.
You know, the
I'm not feeling this one.
Tavares is in the Rhode Island Music Hall of Fame. Because they were from Providence originally.
I bet they'd be good to see live.
Well, yeah, in like 1978.
I don't know
about now.
You think hard to get the bell-bottom pants?
Fabulous wedding stuff.
That's a minute, that's a girl.
You don't know this one?
To fall in love. To fall in love.
Yeah, I heard it.
It only takes a minute, girl.
Oh, one of my favorites. It's kind of subdued.
They do a version of She's Gone, too.
Oh, my God. You got to be
really
kidding me. Shut up.
You need Don't Take Away the Music. That's another one.
Oof.
Don't take
She's gone's away a good one.
The music. That's we need that one. John Tavares in L.A. for a meeting with the Bruins today. What would your pitch be to him?
Well, I'd send Rene Rancourt out first. Put him in his tux on his ring. Give him a three fist
bumps.
What's
the pitch? What's your angle? Do you go with the tradition and Boston and great hockey market, and we've got a good team, and we're this close to winning?
It's good buddies with Bergeron, right?
Do you know what I'd pitch him on? Bergeron.
It's your guy.
Bergeron.
Yeah.
And, oh, by the way, we got a coach that our players really like, too. Here he is. Meet him. Do you like him?
Good young core.
Yep.
Good young core. Good mix of guys. We got a damn good goalie. Whether you like to believe it or not, your goalie's pretty freaking good. You come here, now we got some damn talent. And I had a Jim said it before the show. Does this piss off Krejci?
Probably.
Who cares?
Do you know what I would say?
At this point, who cares?
Too bad.
Krejci 4 or 5 years ago? Oh, okay.
So Jim's fear is, what if you don't land Tavares? Which, by the way, I don't think they're the favorite. So if they don't land him, and they come back empty-handed from L.A., they make their pitch, does that leave Krejci, you know, upset that they were trying to upgrade at center, and all of a sudden he's like, hey, what was...
Well, he's been so lights out when it matters.
I hear rumors that he would be, you know, moving on from me. What's that all about? Too bad. That's the business, dude.
He bit. Tom looked it up, too. I thought it was last year.
7.25 guaranteed every single year. I don't care what you think.
2 years ago, remember when he bitched prior to the start of the season? Man, we didn't do anything, y'all. So you can't win when you don't put talent around me. No talent.
He's complained bitching at various points throughout his career. I don't care. That's what I said.
Well, he used to be really good when it mattered the most, and that's when lights were its brightest during the playoffs, and he just hasn't been that lately.
Are you going to upset him? Probably.
So
yeah, no, I'd say it's more than likely. He's not happy with it.
Let it fire to his ass.
I don't care. I'm enjoying the reports, though. My pitch would be Bergeron. They're buddies.
Yeah.
They're friendly. I'd be pitching that. I'd be pitching that they're an ownership group that's now committed to spending and winning, and that they've, you know, obviously been trying to put the best product on the ice now for quite some time.
It's playing a winning
trying
city
to get back to 2011 level and win it again and all that stuff. So I think they've got enough stuff to go on. I love the reporting, though, on this and the chase of Tavares. It's important in the hockey world, but outside the hockey world, do you think anyone cares? No, it's not LeBron. It doesn't have this like casual sports fan appeal to it. No one even, you know, most people probably don't even know who he is outside of hockey fans. I saw this report yesterday from Sportsnet in Canada. What's that reaction?
Sportsnet.
On the
good catchy name.
Tim and Sid show, right? That's the show. Where they go to Arash Madani. They sent him to L.A. because in Canada, you know, the chase of Tavares, this is big news. They send him to stand outside in the heat yesterday.
Is he sweating?
And he's not a small guy, so he's hot. I can relate. He's hot out there sweating.
A little wet under the
sweating
collar.
Sweating his you-know-what's off.
Take your shirt off.
In the
off
hot L.A. sun. I just found this comical because it's such a big deal there, and it's such a big deal in the hockey world. And these guys had a good laugh because they fully understand that outside of the hockey world, no one gives a damn.
Let's go to some blockbuster meetings being held at an agency.
Oh, my goodness. Blockbuster meetings at an agency.
Live outside the offices of CAA where they are allowing him to stand because he was too close earlier. Arash Madani joining us on the sidewalk.
On the sidewalk on the avenue, on the corner of Avenue of the Stars and Century Drive.
Wow. Living the life, babe. Madani.
Living the dream, McAllen.
This is why you're getting the broadcasting, kids.
All right, so what the hell's going on there?
What did Parcells say, Sid? Yeah. Sid, what Parcells say? This is why you lift all them weights?
Yes.
All day, there were a bunch of cars that would come in, and nobody wearing a suit that was going to talk to John Tavares was among them. And then at 2:54 local time, a black car was stuck in this little roundabout for a while. And then the doors opened and out walked Brendan Shanahan, Kyle Dubas, and Mike Babcock. And they went inside and they're going to visit with Pat Brisson and John Tavares and the rest of the folks over there to make their free agency pitch.
Where does this rank among the assignments that Arash Madani has got in his life?
Good question.
Pretty much have to say, Timmy, this is around the bottom.
Right. Hey, good for you.
Said it'd be great,
good
though. Said really great.
What's going on behind you right now, Rex?
There's guys getting in the cars,
this?
And they got bags.
Are you guys here for the John Tavares sweepstakes?
No.
No, nobody has been here. We've asked a number of people, hey, you know anything about the hockey stuff going on today? They're like, no. And then a few people would ask us, what are you here for? We're like, well, we're waiting for a hockey player. The guy looked at us and then walked away.
All right.
So.
All right.
That's awesome.
If you watch the report,
that's great on both sides.
There's a bunch of guys getting into a black SUV. He's like, hey, hey, and you hear it. You guys here for the John Tavares sign? The guy looks at him and gives him this look like, no. No, I'm not there. For what are you even doing here?
For the John Tavares sweepstakes?
No.
And you heard at the beginning. You heard at the beginning. The people at CAA were like, hey, you're too close to our building. Move away. You're a little too close. And he's like, now like 50 yards from the building on the sidewalk.
So exciting.
You're a little too close to the door.
Be so
back
exciting.
Up.
Oh my God, it's Mike Babcock.
One reporter from Sportsnet in Canada who's out there by himself monitoring the situation.
How do you feel about this assignment? Oh, it sucks. It sucks real bad.
Near the bottom.
I can't even find a Tim Hortons.
I think
here.
It rivals the cat stuck in a tree for 4 hours.
Can't even find my Timbits here.
God, even Channel 7 would have played that up better.
But they were like mocking it. They were having a laugh about it.
That's good for them. Good.
Like, what are we doing here? Nobody would talk to him. He could get no interviews.
I once had to cover Dennis Wyman on a house hunt when he was just looking for a place to rent for a few months. That was more exciting than this. I got to tell you. Sucks bad.
Really does. Let's go to Russ in Chelmsford. Hey, Russ.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
What's up?
Hey, listen. So just hear me out for a second. So you guys were talking about earlier about the Kawhi Leonard and the package would have to go sent out to him. And you guys said Jalen and obviously the Sacramento. But I was thinking, and I just want to hear you guys' opinion. So let's say if that does happen, all right, and Kawhi's made it known that he wants to go out to L.A. And, you know, if he goes out to L.A. and then now Kyrie goes to New York, now we're just left with Jason Tatum and Horford and Hayward. I mean, do you guys even think that's enough to put us over and still be the best?
No, it wouldn't. And then you don't have the pick on top of it? That would suck.
Exactly.
That would be a horrible situation.
That'd be just awful.
I'm with you. And that's why I think there's value in, okay, so Brown never becomes an NBA superstar. He's still a good player. He's still an asset. One that you shouldn't be willing to just trade away because another team asks for him and you're just so focused in on getting one particular guy. I'm not, for 1 year, I'm not doing that. You got to think. You have to think more than that. You have to think about the long term.
See your boy Karabas recruiting him too now? He's all in on the Tavares thing. Jared Karabas tweeting, come to Boston, man. We'll love you here. We'll appreciate you here through the good times and the bad. Yeah, right. Just kidding. There won't be any bad because you'll be here. Maybe you could send him a Saturdays or a foot of boys flag, Artie. What do you think? Fly that sucker by his house? He become a stoolie? No?
I was listening to something else. I didn't know you were referencing me.
Hardy has our headlines. Hardy has headlines. He'll get us caught up.
I'm sorry.
I don't know why you were. It's not on you, Hardy. It's on Zoe.
Blame me.
It's on Zoe.
Blame me. First.
Blame Zoe.
What did he ask me?
Nothing.
Now I can answer
a question that you don't even want to answer. I know this.
He already joked about it off air.
The Karabas stuff. Recruiting him. Send him a flag.
Karabas chiming
in. I'm sure that'll be the nail in the coffin.
That'll swing it back in Boston's direction.
Speaking of
recruitment, come on my Section 10 podcast.
A baseball writer in New York wants me to go play hockey in Boston.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Yeah.
That's what I wanted. There it is. Speaking of recruitments, there are two NBA recruitments that I would like to hit on after these headlines. One is for Paul George. The other is for LeBron James. They may end up in the same place, but how they go about doing it will be very different. That's next.